Okay, we are back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, and it is time to evaluate and provide a full rundown of the first month of the NBA season, because it is hard to believe we're already in the month of December, and that's flying by, and there are plenty of storylines to discuss. We have invited back to our show, he is the senior NBA writer with USA Today and Hoops World, Mr. Bill Ingram. Bill, I hope your weekend's off to a great start.
Oh, absolutely. We're in the stretch run to Christmas, and you know, with a two-year-old at home, it's becoming even more exciting than Christmas usually is.
Well, you're in a defensive stance because every day is a two-on-one fast break, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. Well, listen, several teams that I want us to dive into and discuss, and I thought Hoops World did a really good job. They released an interesting article about some of the most disappointing NBA teams that have not lived up to expectations. And unfortunately, the nature of the business is the head coach, that's the guy that's going to take the heat. So let's start in the Western Conference with the Utah Jazz. And to be honest, I didn't have high expectations for the Jazz. They didn't make the playoffs a year ago. They lost their two top scorers in Jefferson and Millsap. But did you anticipate that they would have a 2-15 start? And I know that, yes, they beat the Rockets, but they're not where I thought they would be.
Yeah, no, this is exactly where I thought they would be,
okay,
frankly. And, you know, certainly you may hear rumblings of a coach, but there's no question that the Jazz were in a quest to land their next franchise player in the next draft, because there are four or five guys who are absolutely going to change the face of a franchise immediately in the 2014 NBA draft. And I thought, from you go back and look at our team previews, I always thought Utah was on this quest, because what they had to do, and I talked to Al Jefferson about this last night, as a matter of fact, was they have these veterans who are ready to win now, and then they have all these young guys that need playing time to develop. And when your team is split that way, you have to make a decision. You either have to trade off the young guys and get veterans to complement your other veterans, or you have to let the veterans go and load the playing time on the young guys and let them become who they're going to become. Utah chose the latter path. Of course, it helps that their new front office, Dennis Lindsay, their new GM, and their new front office mentality is a San Antonio, let's build it on our own, develop our own players mentality, because that has been proven to work, and that's the direction they're going. What that means is you're going to lose a whole bunch of games in that first year, but you're going to get the draft picks, you're going to add the players you need that you can then develop, and hopefully, you know, the hope is you're going to draft a Tim Duncan, a Tony Parker, someone who transforms your franchise. That's what they're doing. They're losing. That's what we expected.
Bill Ingram is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. He's the senior NBA writer with USA Today and Hoops World. You can check out his stuff at hoopsworld.com. And so I have to ask you, Bill, I mean, what has head coach Tyrone Corbin, what has he shown you? I mean, if you look at his record, I mean, he led the Jazz to the playoffs in the 2011-2012 season in his first full season as a head coach. But when you fast forward and you start looking at the numbers defensively, there is a severe drop-off. They're not getting better defensively.
No, they're not. And you're coming off of an era where Jerry Sloan was one of the best defensive coaches in
right.
the history of the game. So it really stands out. But, you know, also they don't have the personnel that Jerry Sloan had. You know, Darren Williams, of course, in the wake of Jerry Sloan leaving the team, Darren Williams was part of that issue, and so he was traded. And then you just don't have – Al Jefferson's not a great defender. He brings you a lot on the offensive end. Paul Millsap is a good defender, but undersized, so he would get beaten. You know, you've got to have the Stallions in the corral to have a great defensive team. It's not just effort. Effort's a lot of it, but you also have to have size, length, and ability. And they just haven't had that. And I think, you know, Ty's going to take some blame, but at the same time, when you talk to him about it, as I have, it's like, man, if with this kind of turnover and the kind of changes they've had, it's very difficult to put in any kind of a system and have any kind of continuity. And continuity wins, period.
Well, what is his defensive philosophy? I mean, you followed the Jazz for many, many years because the head coach, I mean, they set the tone, the level of importance in terms of defensively. You're saying, yes, they don't have the talent. They don't have all that in place right now. But it really does start at the top.
It does. I mean, it has to be demanded. You have to demand defense. Some players just love the defensive end of the floor, and they'll just do it because they love defense. But many players, if you're not standing on their necks constantly, they'll take a playoff here and there. And, you know, for whatever reason, and, you know, I hate to say it's Ty's fault. If you were talking about a team with two or three superstars and they're not playing good defense, yeah, that's absolutely on the coach. But when it's a young team that's been totally gutted and everything's turned over, I have a hard time saying, wow, that's all on the coach. You do have to establish a defensive philosophy. But when you look at their team right now, Who's your great defender? Because on the perimeter, they're going to get killed every night. They've got an undersized point guard. They've got a shooting guard who hasn't really been healthy. So, you know, there are a lot of issues there. The lack of defense, I think, is probably, if you had a list of the top 10 issues with the Utah Jazz, defense is probably pretty low on that list because they've got so many issues.
Well, how were they able to find a win at home against the Rockets? The Rockets had won five straight. James Harden lights it up. He has 37, eight assists, had a season high, but they found a way to win.
Well, they did, and I'll say one name for you, a name that NBA fans who are not in Houston may not know particularly well but need to get to know immediately, and that name is Chandler Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as James Harden is the beard and the face of the franchise and Dwight Howard likes to think he is, Dwight Howard is not a dominant. Dwight Howard is not someone you can just give him the ball and he goes to work and will drop 30. That's not who Dwight Howard is. People in Houston want to think, oh, Akeem's back. We have the best center in the league, like when Akeem was here. Difference is, you gave the ball to Akeem, and he created offense. Dwight doesn't create offense. In fact, if you ask him to create offense, it's usually ugly. It's one of these running, sort of half-hook, kind of chuck shots that I just cringe when he starts to do it. Dwight needs his offense created for him. You have to get him the ball in a position where he can just go right to the rim. It's an alley-oop. It's something where he's right at the rim and he doesn't have to do anything with the ball himself other than put it in the hole. And that's just a totally different kind of player than Dream was. So, but I'll tell you this. The guy that makes it work for Houston, you've got to have that third guy. Every great team has a third guy that brings it every night, and that's Chandler Parsons. And he had back spasms, and he didn't play in that game. And quite frankly, the Rockets, with Jeremy Lin out, he provides a lot of their offense off the bench lately. And with Chandler Parsons out, you know, Houston's not a great you have to make in-game adjustments as a coaching staff. And talking about another team that I'm more concerned when it comes to looking at a coaching situation, I'm more concerned about Houston's contention hopes because of their head coach, because Kevin McHale is not someone who understands how to adjust during a game. He knows how to put the guys out there and then say, move the ball, and put guys in who can shoot the ball and trust the instincts of James Harden. And you'll win a lot of games that way. But when a young team like Utah that presents a front court challenge for Dwight, and then you don't have Chandler Parsons in the mix and you're missing Jeremy Lin's offense off the bench, you know, now it's about adjustments. And that's a situation where, hey, McHale doesn't make adjustments and they get beat.
Senior NBA writer with USA Today and Hoops World is joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Of course, we're talking about Bill Ingram. And Bill, let's head out to the Eastern Conference. Obviously, a big disappointment has been the play of the Brooklyn Nets. The expectations were very, very high. They're off to a tough start. What has been your assessment in terms of how the season and how the script is playing out even in a month of play?
Well, it's funny. Billy King, their general manager, was at the Orlando Summer League when I was there. And there was a press conference, and he was talking about how they'd spent all this money, and the tax situation. I think the number is like $184 million. I think that's their bill. That's their salary this year. It's the highest ever.
Wow.
Because of the way the luxury tax is structured. And he said, well, we'll just keep spending. We need to keep adding pieces. And what I wrote as a result of after that conversation with Billy King was the Kings that the Nets have not spent enough money yet. Because what they have, you look at the roster on paper, and the names are great. Man, you've got Kevin Garnett, you've got Paul Pierce, you've got Joe Johnson, you've got Darren Williams, you've got Jason Terry, Brooke Lopez. That sounds like a great team. And if it was 5 years ago, that's an unstoppable team. The problem is it's not 5 years ago, and Kevin Garnett can't get it done anymore. And Jason Terry doesn't. He looks like he's not getting it done anymore. And Darren Williams can't stay healthy, and Brooke Lopez has had the ankle injury, and Paul Pierce is not the guy who goes out and hits the game winner every night like he was. And then you have Joe Johnson, who's never been a great first option. So my question was, you've spent all this money, who's your first option? If you don't have a first option, you cannot be a contending team. The injuries mean they're not a playoff team right now. I think they'll be a playoff team. But the fact that you don't, because, I mean, the East is ridiculous. It's so terrible.
Oh, it's,
watching
yeah.
the Eastern Conference.
Big disparity between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference.
Yeah, if you're telling me we're going to watch an Eastern Conference game and it's not Miami versus Indiana, I'm not interested. I already know who's going to win. It's just insanely bad how bad the Eastern Conference is. But, you know, you look at the Nets, you don't have a go-to guy. Darren Williams has never been a go-to guy. Joe Johnson has never been a go-to guy. And the guys who have been go-to guys are no longer able to do that because they're at the end of their careers. So it's a lot of money to spend for a roster that looks great on paper, but when they take the court, and you can go back and look, if you go to Hoops World, you can search for this article, the Nets have not spent enough money yet. And that's what I wrote back in August, or I think it was middle of July, actually, because that's just it. Great, you spent all this money, you've got all these names, but not one of those guys is going to win a game. If it's the last 10 seconds of the game, who takes the shot? Who wins the game? And the answer is, that can't be your answer.
Bill Ingram joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're breaking it all down for you, comparing and contrasting the Western and the Eastern Conference. We're up against the clock. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back with much more at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter at @eradiosports.